Kumbaya, someone sing, Lord, Kumbaya, oh yes. Someone spring, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone spring, Lord, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Someone's calling. Our hearts are calling. That you come by here, Father. Your presence be here now, Father. With everyone. In the midst of every one of us, Father, wherever we are gathered together, two or three, just a little few here and there, not just in this island, Lord, but wherever they may be at this moment of time, as they go on live streaming with us here in this fellowship. Yes, Lord, we are praying, we are praising, we are calling, we are worshiping. We are fellowshipping. We are hearing. Come by here, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, come by here. Even as you approach thy word right now, Lord. May our hearts, O Lord, be open up to understand more of thy word in this moment of time. We thank you, Father. We bless the holy name. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, let's go to the book of Matthew 24 again. I want to cover something. I want to touch on something there. As I said, I'm not in a hurry. I just want to, in our teaching, pick a little nugget here and then show you something. Oftentimes, many times when we read the Bible, we thought we knew, you know. And yet when we look closer at the word, and sometimes a verse can have a lot of substance that we actually missed. Amen. Alright. Now, in chapter 24, we don't know what chapter 24 talks about. But I want to ask the question, how many of us here as Christians believe that in the hour that we live in, that this chapter of Matthew 24 pertains to our time, that what has been recorded here, all that is recorded here in this chapter pertains to our day, so much so that we believe that Christ will have to come in our time. You know, when we look at this, I mean, this Bible has been with us for how many hundreds of years now, you know, because there was no New Testament in the days of Jesus Christ. There wasn't any New Testament in the days of the Apostle. They were just writing it, you know, writing those epistles. So, and then you had the first church age, the second church age, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. And then we are here in the seventh. So each of those churches, after the Bible, you know, will say that after all the apostles died, means that they have written all the epistles and they have been, you know, the epistles have been, you know, read in all the different churches. And then in those days of the first church age, the Christians believed that Christ is coming back. Even Paul believed that Christ is coming back, you know. And then, well, even Peter said, well, you know, we believe Christ is coming back, but the scoffer said, well, you know, you'll be saying Christ is coming back, but he hasn't come back. And then we have a second church yet, Yeah, Christians also believe, yes, Christ is coming back and so on, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, and 7th. So now, we are saying that Christ is coming back. And you know, I have talked to people who are not Christian. They say, you Christians believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. I mean, in the past, there are also Christians say coming back, but, you know, Christ didn't come back. So, the thing right now is that when we look into this chapter of Matthew, are we certain that He will come back in this generation? Would you believe that this has to be the last generation? You know, would that be another generation of people? Well, we'll take, for example, a generation. I mean, today our generation is very short. But for Singapore, I mean, in Africa, generation they are kind of shorter. Because they marry around 20 years. So here in Singapore, people married 40, even later. Huh? So each generation gets different country. So, would that be another, every 30 years for another generation to exist? Huh? My grandson Adam, we discussed one time, I saw, he said, he is the last generation. Will he be able to live old enough to get married and produce another generation? So, well, we talked with him, he said he believes he's the last generation. Grandpa, I'm the last generation. Okay, he's the last generation. And I tend to believe that there cannot be another generation to go. You know, but considering all those things that's written here and considering what Jesus said, but I'd like to examine some of the things here. Alright. And then we know what it says, but let us examine it. Chapter 24, and here we have the question that the disciple asked Jesus Christ. Alright. And then Jesus replied and answered those questions. In verse 4, he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now already, in the days of Jesus Christ, there were already false Christ. Okay, not now after he comes. The word Christ just means anointed one. Alright. Christo, or we will say in the Hebrew word Mishah. Well, we mean say someone who will come and save them. As far as the Jew believe, you know, they believe in the coming Messiah that God promised, they will deliver them and so on. So, after Christ passed away, you know, and ascended to heaven, I mean, he passed off and died for our sin, and then resurrected, ascended to heaven, and then the church started. And all those times already, there have been a lot of false Christ. Now, the thing is this, that false Christ has been on the increase. Okay? Alright. So, he's talking about here, many shall come and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, today, let me read through this portion before I show you the picture. Alright, let's continue fast and bring up some point here. Verse 6, and you shall hear wars and rumors of war. Okay, we look at war's condition. Well, there was never a time in history, so to speak, that there was no war. Well, that depends on whether you're talking about world war or just talking about conflict between one nation to another, one empire with another empire, a kingdom against another kingdom, or even civil unrest, ethnic tribe with another ethnic tribe, like we have I can't remember how many years back in Rwanda between the Hutus and the Tutsi. You know, and they are fighting among themselves and they are killing. It is war among themselves. Do you understand what I'm talking about, huh? So there was never a time at all to say that there were never war on the earth. Alright, but we have wars, and this means a big conflict. Wars and rumors of war. Okay, now, verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation. Now, this is talking about nation, not the big one. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquake in diverse places. Alright, today you heard about famine pretty often. But of course nowadays we don't hear about famine. We don't even hear much. All we hear is about COVID. But the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, what we hear? Wars in Ukraine. Putin. You know, China, and then all the other countries are all involved. That's all the big news, right? So you would not, or you would hardly find a small little article somewhere in the newspaper, or even any on the news media, about drought and famine. Unless they're not able to say, they just bring that in. That's how news media do. Alright, so we have that. And then that, verse 9. And they shall deliver up you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now though this is spoken to the disciple, if we are also involved, because why? We are a believer of their Messiah. So we are involved. Alright. They shall deliver up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Now, no need, if you go back to history, there are so many Christian persecution and the death, even the dark ages and so on. Even to today, you have China people, the believer, they go underground because they have no open fellowship, they can't. And all those churches in big city, they are only government churches. Alright, the same thing in Vietnam, Cambodia, and many, many places are like that. Okay? So, and then we have 10. And many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We'll talk about that later. And there are many prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, men, false prophet and false Christ are totally different. You understand what that is? False Christ are false. False Christ are those who call themselves Messiah, anointed one, that you have to believe and follow, you know, or have some kind of a control over the people that people are so deceived and follow. Okay, false prophets are those who prophesy or preaches false doctrine and so on and so forth, alright. And then we have an iniquity, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Okay, let me just go back to the first one right now in verse 5. I am Christ and shall deceive many. Okay. Many have called themselves Christ. Now, in history, in every generation, or we will say in every century, you go back to the 18th century or 19th century, 20th century, 21st century, or even go back to the 2nd century and so on, there will always be false Christ. People will call themselves Christ and try to deceive many. Now, but the thing is that over each generation of time or century of time, there will be more false Christs. Men will come upon the scene and claim themselves to be Christ. Alright, so today, this is the 21st century now. Okay, we just passed the 20th century. Okay, so last century, there are a lot of false Christ that comes over even to this day now. Let me show you here just four of these false Christ, very well known one. I don't want to take those who are not so well known. Okay. The first one we have is this Cristo. He is from Brazil. So he's well known. And this man took the name Inri Cristo. You know, you get the word I-N-R-I. Do you know where they come from? If you write it in capital N, capital letter, I-N-R-I, where does that appear? Do you remember the word that appeared in? It appeared upon the cross of Jesus Christ, remember? So, Jesus of Nazareth and so on, the Son of God, and all of that which was written. So he took the word, this initial, and then he gave it to himself, Inri Cristo. Now, he is a self-proclaimed leader. He has started a cult called Inri in the capital of Brazil. The celibate 69-year-old leader lives with a dozen of his followers in a compound, surrounded by the barbed wire and electrical fencing. Most of their food is grown inside their compound, where they focus on spreading their message. The new age of peace, his parents were German Catholics, and they named him Alvaro Theist at birth. Henry left his home when he was 13 years old and made money working as a waiter, a baker, a delivery boy, and a peddler. And in 1970, he decided to become an atheist. He then went on a speaking tour across the country and even appeared on television shows. During the year 1979, he claimed to hear God, who told him that he was Jesus Christ. He started to go by the name of Henry Christo and started to dress in robes and sandals. He was expelled by the US and UK and moved to France. He was even arrested in Brazil for blasphemy and vandalism. Thus, he started living in the walled compound he lives in now with his disciples. So, that is one on the false Christ. Now, how did he deceive people to live? And then he had to dress like, you know, in the ancient day, how the Jewish men would dress. So, we look at the next one. Alan Miller from Australia. Now, this is another. And if you look at some of these white men who call themselves Christ, a tendency is that when their feature looks very schematic, you know, look very much like the Middle Eastern, so they try to dress the hair long and to appear to be looking more like Jesus Christ of old. So John Miller, before he started his cult, the Divine Truth, as he called, Alan worked in the IT department of an Australian company. He has even claimed that he still remembers being crucified. Oh, can you imagine that? So he was the incarnation of Christ. So he remembered being crucified, and that he wasn't as terrifying as said by the church. You see that? So being crucified was not so bad. He also talks about how his partner Mary Luck is Mary Magdalene. Miller's cult is followed worldwide, with people even moving to Australia just to be close to him. Imagine. Alright, next one we look at. Well, this one I think the Filipino people would know. Alright, Apollo Kiaboloy. He founded the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The name above every name, he left the church which was based in Philippines in the city of Davao. He has a following of 6 million. 4 million reside in the country, while the rest live in the country across the world. Kiaboloi claims that he is the appointed Son of God and has been trusted with protecting the Savior of the Gentiles, or simply put, the non-Jewish people. He also has claimed that he has been living without sin since 2005. So he has lived without sin since 2005. Apollo is incredibly influential across the country and has the support of many political leaders. I wonder, when Jesus was on earth, did he have the support of the political leader? Huh? Think about it, huh? Yeah. And Jesus did not have many followers at that time. Not thousands. You only just have the few disciples. And the maximum you have are probably 120, you want to count, that actually are faithful. The last one, number 4. I think this is the best. Alright, look at this one here. His name is Vasarion. Now, he started the Church of the Last Testament in the Siberian forest, where he has now gathered around 10,000 people. His real name was Sergei Anatolievich Torop, and he worked as a Red Army patrol officer. but he lost his job a year before finding his mission. The Sauron promotes reincarnation, ecology, and vegetarianism, among others. He lived with 5,000 of his disciples. They call the follower Vissarion Knights, on an isolated land where he teaches them how the bitter winter winds help them build character. They celebrate Christmas on his birthday that falls on January the 14th, and does so by having a feast and performing several rituals. Now, all you have to do is do a Google, a search on the internet. Just type men who claim to be Jesus Christ. And you will have a list of all these. And some of them are from Africa. Africa, there are quite a number of them. There's one in Zambia, not far from where Brother Andrew Peary lives. And he is quite a big guy. And there are others in other parts of the world. Now, for this video that you want to watch, that you might want to watch on YouTube, about half an hour or less of Vissarion, you will see how he conducts himself, how he dressed, how he walks, how he speaks. Wow! It's just very impressive. How that people are so mesmerized by his appearance, his mannerism and so on. So you wonder how many false prophets or false Christs are there in the world, in very different, various parts of the world, and how that people are just moved by their charisma. And they just follow such a man. The Bible warns us about false Christ. Now, let us go and look at chapter 24 again. Wars and rumors of war. Wars already there. Nation already there. We have took a look at search of history, and you find out the number of war being fought and so on and so forth. All right. The point right now is this in verse 7 regarding famine, pestilences, earthquake. We are being prepared. Now I said, be prepared for what is coming. Knowing what is in, knowing the signs and the prophecy that God spoke of, give us an understanding of the hour that we live in. As I said, this. All that which Jesus Christ spoke of here, throughout every generation, all these events, all these signs and prophecies that Christ spoke about, they increase us with time. So now when we come to famine, what causes famine? What causes famine? Well, you will say, well, you know what, sometimes it just happens because there's no water. Yeah, okay. The land has drought. Okay, we understand that. But what causes it? You know, when we look at the condition of our world today, there are preachers that I heard taught on the YouTube, on the internet, on their website. They do not believe in climate change. I don't know, maybe there are some people here in Singapore, they don't believe in climate change. They said that there's no such thing as global warming. The climate change is because it's a natural phenomenon. It just happened there. I don't know about you. For me, Where preacher or believer said there's no such thing that there is that about climate change, there's no global warming. But the question is, what causes famine? Oh, famine has always been in history. What causes pestilences? It has always been. But the Bible said famine will increase, pestilence will increase, and earthquake will increase. And what causes earthquake? Huh? It's natural phenomenon. Yeah, I know natural, but the Bible says there's an increase of whole. There's a record of increase of earthquake every generation. In the last few days, do you read the paper, right? Hear the news, how many earthquake has been around? You heard about Indonesia, then suddenly there's one in the Philippines, and there's one in Hong Kong. Huh? Then we heard about another one up there in Japan, same area where Fukushima had the disasters a couple of years ago, 10 years ago. Huh? And what about those earthquakes that is in Israel? There have been several earthquakes in the last few days. So what kind of, I mean, every day, if you want to look at, there's a lot of tremors, but they are major earthquake. We're talking about major earthquake. We're talking about 5 point something and above, not 3 point something, and all, not those trembles and then rumbling thing. So pestilences. Look at the pestilences that we have today. Go back to history. What we have? Let me just think about that. The Spanish flu, but. In the 19th century, you have the Russian flu, you have the Asian flu, you have the SARS, and now we have the COVID, and what else? You have the Ebola in Africa. We have the Zika virus. Well, we have the swine thing. We have so many different kinds. What causes this increase? Because if you live in the days of the Old Testament, I don't think you heard so much about all these pestilences. Yeah, you don't hear about so much of it. Yeah, they do happen because what causes it? Yeah. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13. And you know what 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13 says? But evil men and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's right. What causes famine, pestilences, earthquake? Because of sinful men. Sins abound. Iniquity on the increase. So when this thing gets worse and worse, the world condition is not going to get better. Look at this present war in Ukraine. Well, what started it all? The fact is now that you read in the paper, and people are taking side now against Russia, because why? The catchphrase, remember? What has always been uttered so often by the media, that's what you get. And we know that the country that is the big guy, they want to control everyone, every nation possibly could, is America. Don't say that, here you go again, Barragan, you're hating America. No, I'm not hating America. I've never liked the spirit after what I've seen in the 1980s. Bible tells us so. That he has the mouth of a dragon. You got to accept it. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. He has the mouth of a dragon. You know what the dragon is? Don't think it like a dragon, you dragon. It's a serpent. They speak with a forked tongue. That's what it is. And so, America is pushing all their nation to sanction Russia. Sanction Russia. Putin is evil. Putin is evil. So how are we going to join? You know, yeah, because our government also sanctioned. And so what happened? Now people are having separate discuss a lot. Huh? You see, the problem is this, that in the world today we live in, you're either on the right side or on the left side. Huh? Correct? They said the left side is right and the right side is wrong. How do you know? A coin has two sides. And which side you want to support? We're not supporting any side. We're only looking at the fact of what the world is today. People are deceiving. The Bible says here, if a man has used such a wax words and word deceiving and being deceived. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. Do you mean? You understand? Or else I sanction you and I ask the rest to sanction you. And people are just following. Okay, because everybody wants to join a big guy. Unity is strength. That's what he said. The more people, the stronger the empire. And I say this, there are three things that we need to know in the world today, why God is so much against it. Because these three entities, they have the Word of God. First, Israel. I said that before. Israel had the oracles, right? They were given the oracle by God. They have the Word. What did they do with it? What did they do with it? And because of what they have done with them, not following the Word, they disgraced the name of God. God sent them off to captivity and then dispersed them around the world. But they are God's chosen people, and God promised that He will bring them back to their land. The next entity, the church, it developed into become what we own today as Roman Catholicism. It's the first church to be organized. And they have the Word, they have the Bible, but they started to bring in their own foundation, removing the foundation of God's Word, add to it. I talked about last week. Remember the seven parable of Matthew 13? The four parable, the 2, 1, 11, huh? Remember? And 11 out of it. Justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost baptism. Yeah, they replace it by their foundations, confession, indulgence, mass, penance, and all that stuff. And that's why the Bible said she will be judged. And what about the third one? The third one is the second beast. It's the only nation in the world, the second beast, the only nation in the world that have this pride to say, in God we trust. It was founded on that, on the Bible. And even the monument, remember the monument that was in, what do you call that, memorial, the obelisk stone in front of Washington, D.C.? And the capstone that when the sun comes out, it says, you know, it gives the glory to God, because that is the first thing that the sun hit. And then look at what have become of the second beast. You have disgraced the name of God. Disgrace the Word of God. A country that has now, so the country will collapse because why? Of, well, there's so much immorality there. Look at them. What has become of that nation? Sexual immorality. You know, they're gay, they allow gay marriage. Racism. He said, no, we're not racist, really. this thing has been going on. Yes, not every, I'm not talking about the citizen itself. Huh? I'm talking about the spirit. That's what takes a hold of the people. So, what causes famine? When evil men, you know, they don't redeem the time, they don't treasure the earth, and they started to, well, what contaminates this earth so much so that, and the atmosphere and the environment so much so that famines are there. Pestilences are on the increase because of the pollution. What about earthquake? Earthquake because of the fracking is one, and the example is there. When the earth is imbalanced, and it is said that the earth is slightly more tilted now. That's why we have this change of weather. Go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And we look into why there are preachers who do not believe in global warming. That they said this is just a phenomenon that happens because it is just that. The earth is not, has not been damaged by earthling. You see, the earth is okay. Nothing wrong with the earth. There's no such thing as global warming, no climate changes. They said they deny. And they use this verse. Genesis 8:22. And it says in Genesis 8:22, why the earth remain seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It has to be there, see? There will be heat, there will be cold. You know, what is it here in cold to do with global warming? The Bible said there is heat. Is it not? There is heat. In the daytime when there is sun, there is cloudless sky, you get a lot of heat from the sun. Over on the other side of the earth, when it's dark, it's cooler, of course. Heat and cold will be there. Summer and night, summer and winter, wolves will be there. Job 37, verse 15. Chapter 37, verse 15 to 17. Okay. Do you know when God disposed them and caused the light of His cloud to shine? Do you know the balancing of the clouds? The wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when He quieted the earth by the south wind? So now, people have taken this verse, preachers have taken this verse, and try to prove, you see, God is in control. You know, you see, when the wind are blowing, of course you feel cool. Right? And He keeps the balance of the cloud. So, what these people are saying from the using this kind of scripture is to say that there's no sign of global warming. God knows how to balance that. Of course. Okay, go and look at 9, verse 9 to 13. Out of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering, He wearied the thick ground. He scattered His bright cloud, and He turned around about by His counsel, that they may do whatsoever He commanded them upon the face of the world in the earth. He caused it to come, whether for correction or for His land or for His mercy. Of course. This is what the intention of God. God knows how to keep the balance. Because what? That has been a decree that gone out by God's law. Do you think that God... Let me say this. People think that God is always sitting in the throne and just controlling the earth, you know, like people are controlling the computer or checking for cyber attack or something like that. You know, something went wrong over here, he would do this here, do this. No. God has already sent out a decree. Whatsoever you reap, you sow. Right? And he had given time and season when the earth move around the sun and rotate on its axis. But let me ask this question right now. How is it that our earth today, the revolution around the sun is 365 and a quarter day? What is such an odd number? Why? And we know that a circle is over 360 degrees. So why is there 365 and a quarter days in that one revolution around the sun? That's why I believe that everything is perfect. When the Bible said in the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he said what? When he separated the light from the darkness, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night, right? So it's 12 hours, 12 hours, and the earth is perpendicular, the axis of the earth is perpendicular. But today it's tilted. Think about that. The Lord had given me that revelation when I wrote the book of Genesis. What causes it to go around the sun and create another 6 1/4 days? Because when the earth actually is perpendicular, when the earth spins like a top, it's very smooth. And it goes around the sun without any problem. But when it's tilted, and it spins, it's just like a top, it goes wobbling. And when it goes wobbling, it slows down in its revolution. And that's why we have a different season altogether. And you go to northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, different times of the year, it could have been what you call a long summer and short winter, or long winter and short summer. So it's no longer perpendicular, because no more 12 hours, 12 hours. And it is found by a scientist said that the earth is even more tilted now. What causes the tilt in the first place is because of the great flood in the days of Noah. And the shrouding of the cloud around the earth is gone. All the water has come down. Some have went up there, but the majority has been left upon this earth. And so we have only 70% of the surface of the earth is water surfaces. So just think about it. Psalms 148. I want you to read some of these verses, because Psalms 148. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heaven. Praise him in the height, praise him all his angels, praise ye him all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him all you stars of light, praise him you heaven of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created. He have also established them forever and ever, and he have made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragon and all the deep. The word dragon here doesn't exist, huh? This dragon, the word dragon means elongated and creatures on the land. Okay, it could be some like a crocodile or something, or rhinoceros or anything that is long and big. And of the deep is what's in the sea, like a whale and all that. Or the depth, the deep, I mean. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy winds, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedar, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth, and all people, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and maiden, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name is excellent and His glory is above heaven and earth. He also exhort the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto Him, praise ye the Lord. So this is all about praise. But they have taken this word, verse out of verse 8, that is, to use this word here. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Just as we read earlier on in the book of Job. God had decreed it. Yeah, see, this is what God had decreed. So there's no global warming. But this is not what the Bible says. God already decreed. And the people said, you cannot change it. Yeah, when the Lord decrees something, He doesn't change it. But what did you and I do? What did mankind do to this earth? Take for example, God said to Adam, but every tree in the garden you can eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. The day you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. God had decreed, it's a law. So what happens when you eat of it? If you don't eat of it, you don't die. You eat of it, you die. It's just as simple as that. The same thing. Did not the Bible say that we are wonderfully and beautifully made? Yes? Yes. Then why are you sick? Why are mankind sick? After all, isn't it what the Bible says? Our body is beautifully and wonderfully made. And Adam was supposed to have eternal life. What causes death? Wow. So that's the reason why when people look into the Bible, do not just take, hey, the Bible says here, you see, God's in control of the earth. He said the wind will blow here and He balanced the cloud. Yeah, I know that. You know, He created your body so beautifully, and yet you have this problem here and that problem there. What causes it? You know, the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Bible tells us that if we abuse it, we are destroying it, and God said, I will destroy it for you. So this earth belongs to God, and the fullness thereof is still God's. But man had destroyed the law that governed this earth. And yet there are preachers, there are believers, there are Christians, they say, no, there's no such thing as global warming. And I don't know how stupid people can get. Now, the ocean water is rising. Why? Why is the water rising in the ocean? If there's no global warming, why would the water rise? Because the ice, the Antarctica ice, and Arctic ice is melting. The glaciers are melting. And what about the coral reef out there in Australia and many other countries? They are being breached. They're turning white. No, it's natural. In men, you know, when in Fiji, the brother whom I know in Fiji told me, he's a brother again, he's a fisherman. He said the fishes are getting less now. Why? Overfish. And that's why we have all of, you know, the fish are overfished. So much so that, you know, the kind of fish that we used to eat when we were young, we hardly find it anymore. Huh? And there are some countries that try to control this. Is that whenever you fish and the fish are very small, throw it back. But today, Even when people go and catch crab, even the small, they caught the crab small one, they won't only throw it back because why? You say, if I throw it back, somebody else will take it and eat it. You see, this is what mankind has come to. They don't think about the future. It's just like what they believe. They don't think about the future. They only enjoy themselves and die, and that's it. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything. They believe in themselves. Selfishness. Ego. No climate change. Yep. So we have another issue here today. So I want to talk, when you mention about this, I just want to show you this picture here now. You know, when I talk, Brother Mike, a student of mine in California, when I wrote him an email and he sent me an email that shows a couple sitting in front of a fireplace. And he said, Brother, and I'm watching Build Back Better Season 2. So I was thinking, what is that? Is it kind of new series, a movie or something? So show that picture here. So then I realized, you see, the catchphrase that is there, during Donald Trump's presidency, he always used the make America great again. Am I right? Make America great again. So this one, that one is gone now. So this one is under Joe Biden presidency is build back better. So now it's become a catchphrase. So when Brother Mike told me that he's because he's in the front line, seeing what's going on in America, and he's just watching this Build Back Better Season 2. I was thinking, now I realized it was a humor. America will never be better anymore. The nation has come to that stage. America is a great nation that has taken a back seat now in the faith. They only have taken a front seat in aggression. They have taken a back seat in the faith. Now let's go to Jude chapter 3. Jude chapter 3, it says, Beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you of all the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now here was Jude writing this, because, you know, there's already in that time there are those that backsliding, those who have been persecuted, they give up the faith. And because that's what Jesus said, iniquity shall abound. And then the many will hate, there will be even hatred of one against another, a brother and believers. This is what is happening. And America was a great country when God gave a man, William Branham, to give a message. A message that will restore the bride back to the world. People said, no, Brother Graham, the other way around. Restore the word to the bride. Oh, that's what you believe. That's not what I believe. The word has always been around. But it was lost to the bride. Why? It was because we were caught up in a system. That's what the message must be, to call us out of darkness. In the darkness, the word is not there at all. Practically, it was all tradition. So the bride, come up and meet him. Him, Christ, has always been around. Am I not right? The word of God has always been around. It's only that we fail to see it. you see. So there's falling away of the faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, or by letter, as from our soul, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or that he be as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withhold that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity do already work. Only he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, here, Paul one time said that, you know, in another place in Corinthians. In fact, later on he told the people, oh, well, you know, Christ is coming, so please, those who are married, behave like you're not married. And those who are not married, don't look for a wife. Be like me. But here, it's obvious that he wrote to tell us that the Christ would not come yet. He could not come until there is a falling away from the faith. Now, look at it, verse 3. Except there come a falling away first. Falling away from the faith. Now, you know, there have been different interpretations to say that, yeah, but you know, there has already been a falling away of the faith. Huh? So when? Some say, well, you know, what they call the denomination, they lost the faith the way that was presented to the early church. And that's why they're all looking for the coming of the Lord in one sense of the word, they are trying to say that. Or that there was falling away of the faith because in the early church, that's why the man of sin was revealed. And we can say that in the days of Luther knew who the man of sin was. The son of perdition was none other than the Pope. He was revealed, and he sits in the temple and he called himself the vicar of Christ. And whatever he say, whatever come from his mouth, they are absolutely the word of God. See. So, let us examine it first here. We know that in the early church, after the apostle all died, and about 200 years later or more later, the church in Rome began to organize. And when they organize, of course, they are trying to embrace the common people to the faith. And so they compromise. Oh, you worship the sun god. Oh, we have the son of God. Things like that. And of course, the Roman, the Greek, and the different religious people, they have something that the Catholic Church will try to compromise with to try to bring them into the Catholic faith. So, well, you know what happened in history when Constantine had the visions of the sky, of cross, and by these signs, conquer. And so he got everyone to baptize. His army soldier baptized. And so the whole Roman Empire became convert to Christianity, so-called. And later on, of course, the power shifted from the political Rome to religious Rome. And then we see, of course, the man, the son of perdition, the man of sin that opposes God, exalt himself above all that is called God, worship and to be worshipped, and that he has God seen in the temple of God. So we see that. Because they said, it was a falling away, that's why this thing is revealed. But Jesus didn't come. He has been more than 1,000 years since that time. And Christ hasn't come. So what then is this portion of scripture and also of Jude when he said contending for the faith once delivered to the saints? What faith? Denomination, they do not have the faith that was delivered to the saints. We know that. Of course, when Christian doesn't want to hear that, see, how can it be? So when we're talking about the faith, we're talking about faith in its entity. What it implies, what it involves. Faith is not just, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my Savior. And that's it. I've eternal life. Not just it. Jesus said, if you love me, if you believe in me, keep my commandments. Keep my word. That is true, isn't it? If we say we believe but don't do it, then we are not a believer. When the Bible says be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we don't need that. We just baptize in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or even just sprinkle would do. Or as some people will say, I'm born a Christian. What do you mean by you're born a Christian? Huh? Is there anybody on earth actually born a Christian? I mean, you can say you're born a Catholic, but don't say you're born a Christian. You're born a Buddhist, you can say that, I don't care. But nobody is born a Christian. Everyone is of us. We were all born sinners. I was born a sinner. You can never say you're born a Christian. You see, the problem is this, is people don't have an idea of the importance of God's word. Jesus said to the apostles, if you love me, keep my word. All that is implied, that's true. Hallelujah. That's why some of the Adventists said this. You see, you need to keep the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Lord's day. It's not the Lord's Sabbath. You know, the Catholic Church changed from the rest day of the Lord on a Saturday to a Sunday. But you know one thing? There's so much misinterpretation of that. What is a Sabbath? Sabbath is a rest. And Sabbath is never a day. Only God says, 6 days you shall work and the seventh you rest. But was there such thing as a seventh day in a week? You don't find it in the Bible. Because when you talk about Sabbath, there are sometimes that Sabbath you work for 6 days, 7 days you rest, 8 days you also rest, right? It means 2 days Sabbath. 48 hours. Then the Bible says, work for another 6 days, not 5 days. Work for another 6 days, then a Sabbath. So the Sabbath always changes. It never rests on the calendar that is Roman on the Saturday. And it's because of the change of the calendar, changes of the custom, because the Jews were under Roman Empire, so they had to follow. Like what you say, when you are in Rome, do as the Romans do. If you work in a country I don't know, I think maybe that's also in the Middle East, some Muslim country. They rest on a Friday, right? Friday is their off day, their worship day, their rest day. So, business stops on the Friday. Isn't that right? So, when they work there, we are kind of a bit confused. So, if you go to a country that you have the 7 day Adventist people or Sabbath day keeper, and then there also the control of the government is a Muslim leader, and then there also the Christians that are there. So, what day do you keep? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, my goodness, we're well, only 4 days. Wonderful, right? Friday or Saturday or Sunday, you're off. Will not be suitable for everybody. But originally, people do not know that the Jew actually lost the true calendar. There's never such thing as a weekly Sabbath. No. Weekly Sabbath came because of the Roman calendar. And the Jew living in that time, they had to follow the system. That's why they had put on a fixed day. Otherwise, there's no such. Go and follow the Old Testament and see. We have a calendar on the website. So go look into it. Huh? So, when it's falling away of the faith, what faith are we talking about? Jude is talking about the faith that was once delivered to the saints, not the saints out there in the Roman church now. The saints that were there the first time, the particular time that was given. That was given the days after Jesus resurrected, when the epistle was given to them, they were taught that. But there is falling away. And true enough. But you know what? Since God sent the prophet and restore us the bride, restore us back to the word. But when he said restore us back to the word, people have said that Abraham restored the perfect word. No, the word has always been there. As I said this, we are restored back to the word. Remember this. But what happened today? There's so many of the anti-message people who follow this teaching of William Branham, who have been in the message 30 years, 40 years, and now they are gone. They fell away from it. They have given it up. Finding fault with Brother Branham's statement. The discrepancy that was there. Like my friend Peter, long ago, he laughed. Because of the why, too much questioning over this discrepancy, this conflict here and there. Oh, he cannot be a true prophet. What are we looking at, brother and sister? What are we looking at? Are we looking at the word? What he uttered, every word, or are we hearing what the Spirit of God say to the churches? The Bible says, he that have a ear to hear, let him hear. The Bible did not say, he that have eyes to see, let him see. Or eyes to read, let him read. That may be true. The question you want to read, take it how you read. Take it what you read. But the most important is to hear. Not what the man say. Hear what the Spirit say. When you want to read, read what the Spirit is trying to tell you. But yet, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And how can they hear except a preacher be sent? That's important why we need to prepare ourselves. But what do you mean by preparing? Preparing for what? What's coming? What is coming? Rapture? The great tribulation is coming. Let me tell you this. Be ready for what is coming is to be making ourselves ready. The wife and make herself ready as wife. The bride of Christ must make herself ready as a wife. Not watching, oh, look, no, I can tell you this, there's so many. It really, you know, it's a I don't know whether you want to call it phenomenal or not, but the problem is that we have this internet. We have this internet thing. We have all kinds of things that are out there on the internet. The good, the bad, and the crazy. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the filthy. All kinds of things are out there on the internet. So, people will put their 2 cents worth of what they think is this and that, put it out there. So the world is in a mess. Some people cannot discern. Now, do you remember this vaccine thing that came out? Two years ago. And then after a while, what? The vaccine contained a chip. They're going to track you. When you take that, they track you, right? You hear about that? Well, so they don't know what they're talking about. And there are so many people believe that it is so. It is true. Because some people just put it out there. Maybe he wanted to have a fun to see how foolish people are. And there are believers out there in Philippines and other countries. They've been asking me, is it true, Brother Gunn, that there is a chip? And because some of the churches, the pastor teach the congregation, it is true that there is a chip there that's taking the mark of the beast. Wow. My oh my, I can tell you. The internet can be a good thing and a bad thing. And I tell you, because what man has become today, the internet has become a very bad thing today. That is true, isn't it? We spend more time texting instead of taking our phone and say, hello. Instead of calling, we tend to text. And instead of spending time reading a book, we watch a movie. Instead of playing a game that's physical, we play a computer game. Then I come to that state. So there is a falling away of the faith. And I believe that is so. People are falling away from the faith. They reject now the teaching that they have learned. The serpent seed. Water baptism and Jesus is not necessary. They're all going to wash their slate clean again. So I'm not part of this. I once was in this William Branham's cult. Now I'm no longer. They're proclaiming that. The thing, I said this many times, do you know what you believe? Do you know? The thing is that many people have not learned the Father. Let's close with this verse. Malachi chapter 4. Alright, you know, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. Now, of course, this last two verses of the Old Testament have been now disputed by the people who once believed what Abraham taught. Now they are against it. They are saying that this has been fulfilled by John the Baptist. And some will say, well, the first part is John the Baptist. The other part would be for one of the two witnesses that are coming. And they will say there's nothing to do with William Branham. You know. Okay, take it as it may be. Take it as it may as these people want to believe. All right, now the point is this. The key word in these two verses is the word heart. That's a key word. You know, years ago when I was looking at this, I was wondering, what is the key word? And when I look at it, I couldn't find it, I couldn't understand, because I need to know the keyword. So I asked Brother Jackson, I said, what is the keyword? And he told me, Brother Gunn, that's the word heart there. And I look at it, I said, oh, thank you, now I see it. Well, I learned something from Brother Jackson, and Brother Jackson learned something from me too. Because in Brother Jackson's teaching on the Godhead, yes, in the first time, he said in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, he used to say that it was in the beginning, in the eternity. And that's what Peter and your denomination always say. The word in the beginning means in eternity. That wasn't. And so when he read my book on the Logos, then he realized, then later on he said that was eternity. So we learn from each other as ministers as well. Alright, so now when we look at this, the word heart. That is the key word there. Because it's where the word of God involved. God give us a new heart because he put his word in our heart. And we became a new creation, a new creature. Now the thing here, he says here in the last verse 6, it shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the father. So we are in the last days where our hearts should be turned to our fathers. So who's our fathers? Who are these fathers? These are the apostolic fathers. So if our heart is turned back to the apostolic fathers' faith, their teaching, then we must learn the fathers. But many people are not learning the fathers. What are they learning? They're learning the prophet. They're not learning the fathers. The church was established by the apostolic fathers. They are the one that have laid the foundation. They anchor the one sure foundation. Remember, the church is a pyramid. You all remember, right? Yeah. As a pyramid. And there are 12 foundation, 12 gates on each side. Exactly. They anchor the sure foundation of the church. Not learning the prophets. The prophets turn our heart back to the fathers. And the fathers is the father of the church, which is the apostolic father. But people are not learning the apostolic father's faith. And that's why they make that mistake. And that's why people are falling away from the faith, because they do not understand. Just like some African believers said, but again, I'd rather read the prophet's book rather than the Bible, because the Bible is a bush. Too bushy, so to speak. Then they cannot see the needle in the bush or the golden nugget in the bush, or whatever you want to say. Huh? You talk about needle in a haystack, it's hard to find needle in a haystack, of course. So they are saying the same like there is a bush. I don't understand. Because they don't have their eyes. They do not anoint their eye with eyesight. So that they could see. You know. So that's why there is a falling away from the faith. I'll close it here. And next week, we're going to finish it off to the hour that we're living in. The Lord bless every one of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for the hour we live in. That there would be another generation is unthinkable, Father. For all that which is happening in the world today, and which according to thy word, Lord, it's filled to the brim. And the sin of mankind is just overflowing. The wickedness, the evil. Lord, have mercy. And we know, Lord, that you said that you will be gracious to those whom you will be gracious. And we know, Lord, for such one that you will give grace to, you will also give them mercy, that they may come to the knowledge of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the one whom you sent for to be a propitiation for the sins of all. Father, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the truth that we have. Asking the Lord you bless the rest of the day, even so that for every one of us, they are looking for the coming. That our faith will hold fast. And that our feet, O Lord, stands on solid ground of the word of God. And that whatever, Lord, will come, whatever wind will come, we will not be tossed to and fro. We ask for your grace then. Bless us all now, Father, in Jesus' name.